Welcome to Wolf Den's Saturday set, where it's time to walk across the road from Doomben. We're off to Eagle Farm. It might be the best day of the carnival so far. It might be the best day of the carnival overall when it's all said and done. We've got a stack card at Eagle Farm Kings.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Can't wait. Had a winning week. The Blues got the cash last night. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling happy and I'm ready to rip right into these bookies.
Welcome in, Fizz. You got something, some nice ones for us this week? You had a few couple, nice ones for us last week.
Yeah, a couple. Hopefully there's a few winners in there for everyone.
Enjoy Origin last night?
Loved Origin. If the Blues can win, we're all happy, right?
Yeah.
No, in here anyway.
We're going to do our NRL show after this. But let's get in. We've got four feature races to talk about from Queensland. And we're going to start with the two-year-olds in the Sire Produce Stakes. Pretty competitive field. You were whinging about how big a field this was, Fizz. Wasn't it pretty hard to,
young horses, big fields and a lot of upside for a lot of horses. So it makes it tough to sort of analyse races like this.
Sure. Let's go look at the Spirit of Boom, which is basically the lead-up race to the Sire Produce, and we're going to have a look at three horses very much in the market. You got Gallo Nero's going to run second in the blue, and then you got Grafter Burners in the orange, and you've also got Cool Archie in the green. Cool Archie goes on to win. All look very progressive types. They're all racing in this race. Let's bring the market up, Kings, and I'll go to you and we'll talk.
So firstly, we're racing at Eagle Farm, obviously, on Saturday. Eagle Farm's traditionally not an on-pace track. Mm-hmm. You can sit wide there and you can definitely make ground there. So just be aware of those horses coming out of Doomben on leader bias tracks a bit of the time, especially off slow tempos.
Sure.
That had every hope and either won and failed or... So you don't mind it. Like a horse in this race, Grafter Burners, which we just saw then, it's going to get back. It's going to sit wide, but I don't mind that at Eagle Farm, especially in this race because there's a heap of pace in this race. You've got Aerodrome and also Brave Design that are going to go 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
I had those two leading and sitting second. I think it's an extremely hard race, this one. It's very open. I think the winner will be... The winner will possibly be double figures. I've got three overlays in the race, and the first one's Grafter Burners, which isn't double figures but is the shortest of the three.
Yep.
We just saw a big run there after sitting wide in the orange colours. I think 750 is not a bad price. I don't think it's going to be starting 550 or anything like that.
So it means it's a market mover. There's been money for it.
Has there? Yeah, yep. I haven't checked the flux. So obviously, it's been well backed early. The other one was Prince Tycoon. Going to 1400 for the first time, which I think is good. Nash gets on, seems decent value to me. And the third one's number 15, United States, fitted for first up sixth, over-raced and sat wide last time. I think the 1400 suits here, so I'd be looking towards horses that are going to run a strong 1400 because the pace is going to be on. So those are my three overlays, but I'm not that keen to bet in the race.
Hey, Fizz, did you see Prince Tycoon at the Gold Coast when it got beat in that million-dollar race?
I thought it was a pretty good run this morning. It wasn't a bad run, but I'm a bit worried about a horse going 1,100 first up, back to 1,000 metres, up to 1,400 metres. That concerns me with that horse.
Yeah.
So there's my concern about Prince Tycoon. It did come up about third or fourth pick on my form, but I don't really want to back it in a race like this. Look, I had number 7, Aerodrome, top pick. King says there's a lot of speed. I'll disagree there. I don't think there is that much speed in this race. I think that there's only a few horses that are going to go forward, and whether or not it's suited going to the front, well, we'll see on Saturday. But I'm on Aerodrome. It's ticked the 1400 box, which most of these horses haven't, which is another thing that I like. It ran a strong 1400 at Hawkesbury last start, and it gets a great draw with a lot of other horses in the market which are drawn poorly. So Gallinero, I don't know how it's shorter than Grafter Burners. I mean, it was first up, I guess that's the only excuse they've got, but Grafter Burners run compared to it was better last start. It had a softer run behind it, three wide. Grafter Burners sat four wide, no cover. I have to be on its second pick out of any of the horses. And that's about it for me. I'm having something on Aerodrome, but not an official bet.
Very good. Let's move on to the Fred Best Classic. I've been looking forward to this race for a long time. Angel Capital is the favourite. We haven't seen Angel Capital for a long time. Well-known horse, of course. Favourite for the Australian Guineas. Then got sold to Yulong. Went to Chris Waller because it became a miss on Australian Guineas morning. Mm. Last time it raced was, this is the Autumn Stakes where it dropped on all the other three-year-olds with Benny Mellum on board and went absolutely bang. Haven't seen it back since then, but he's favourite and there's been money for him. I think I saw 360, 370 bet during the week. There's the market. Away we go.
He's got the MM next to him as well, Angel Capital. I thought there was decent pace again in this race with Stay Focused and also Media World go forward. I think it's a hard race. I've got Angel Capital on top.
Mm-hmm.
Three from three, first up. Had three trials as well. Won the last trial. As you said, Chris Waller takes over Angel Capital. What does worry me a little bit about Angel Capital, has failed twice up in Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
And also, what do you make of the weather up there? There's a bit of rain around, I saw. What do you think the track's going to be?
I actually didn't look hard into the weather there this week. I must have got caught up doing other things. But, yeah, if you say the weather's around, then it makes it a little bit more scary. I know it's already a soft track, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a soft five, I think, at the moment. And if they get a bit more rain, Angel Capital could be a bit of a query in the wet as well. So I wouldn't be rushing into 320. I thought I had him on top though. Boomtown Boss, I gave a chance to. What price have we got Boomtown there at $11? I thought that was decent value as well. Failed in the guineas, but didn't have a lot of luck. Wide as well, back and wide. And my old favourite, Elmore Zillow, there, number 15. One good win last start, $16. Yeah. I thought was half a decent price. About the champ, Elmore Zillow, but once again, not a race I'm particularly keen to play in.
All right, Fizzer, what's your thoughts?
Oh, mate, I had Angel Capital top pick as well. I guess money will be a bit of a guide on this one on Saturday. You know, when the Wallace Stable, when money comes, sort of race day for some of these horses that are first up, it tells the story. And so, yeah, look, I'll probably be on Angel Capital. I had Stay Focused, equal top pick with it, but was really worried about the wide draw and the fact that it's going to come across and little gap between runs. Media World, I thought, was a good hope. Number four, it's been winning well. And It and Just Party came out of the same Hawkesbury race. Media World will be in front of Just Party in the run. Just Party will have to get back from barrier 17. But if they do make ground, which Kings is saying they're probably likely to do, then Just Party has to be a good chance running over the top of them as well. So pretty even bunch. Angel Capital top pick, but not rushing to back that at that price now.
Very good. And, of course, whoever wins this race gets a golden ticket into the Stradbroke. The next race we're going to talk about has a big impact on the Stradbroke as well and a golden ticket attached. It's the Kingsford Smith Cup. I thought we'd go back and look at the Goodwood. A lot of different form lines coming together here, but let's just familiarise ourselves.
I was on Giga in the Goodwood down the middle there in the white cap.
Probably a bit disappointing, wasn't
probably
he?
Probably. It was very disappointing, I thought.
He's down the outside. Reserve Bank obviously goes on to win.
Giga was wide, but still you can make ground at Morpheville and hasn't really let down like you'd expect Giga Kick to do.
Mm.
What do you think, Fizz? Disappointing?
Yeah,
or?
I was disappointed with Giga Kick. I mean, it was a $2.20 shot, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Like, got a long way out of its ground that day, but yeah, I'm not on Giga this week.
I feel like it's Jolly Star's turn. Jolly Star's the best horse in this race, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunshine in Paris got her turn in the Doomben 10,000. I just feel like everything sets up for Jolly Star. And that's why she's favourite. Let's have a look at what AI thinks King's Own.
Yeah, let's have a look at the screen there for AI. And we've got Jolly Star on top with a bullet rating of 92. From equal second picks, Giga Kick and Kamachi getting in there on 62. And then fourth pick, Benedetta, who I thought was Benedetta's turn as well in the 10,000.
Mm.
Got a bullet rating of 48, but was disappointing in that 10,000. So let's talk Jolly.
Yep.
So Jolly Star has drawn wide. J-Mac on Jolly, but Jolly's drawn out in 11. So there's a couple of things that do concern me with Jolly Star. One's the barrier and two's the wet track. If they do get a lot of rain up there and it becomes a heavy eight or a soft seven, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it does, Jolly Star will drift in the betting. What I do like about Jolly Star is James McDonald's on. He seems to put these horses, especially in Group 1 races for Chris Waller, in the right spot. So you got the right man on board. And the other thing that I like about Jolly Star a lot is the acceleration. Jolly Star's the best horse in this race, in my opinion, and has the best acceleration. So if James can get a bit of cover midfield there down the centre of the track, I expect Jolly Star to win. What do you make of Jolly Star, Fitz?
Yeah, top pick for me as well, Kings. I don't know. Again, another one that I want to see what happens race day. But, yeah, top pick in this race.
He's on the verge of breaking Malcolm Johnson's Group 1 records for the year.
Miracle.
Yeah, so he'll be pretty fired up, J-Mac, because you never know when you get another opportunity to do that.
And so. Chris Waller. There's the combo
Chris
right there. So
up there as well, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that combo later in the show as well. I've got some interesting stats to break, which I've been doing a bit of a deep dive into C. Waller. So we'll get to that, though. Let's still talk Kingsford Smith. Number 11, Kamachi. Which was surprised when I saw that I'd found Kamachi, and I went and had a look. Kamachi ran last in the all-age last start, was lame, since has come back and won a trial. I think $10 is good value. It's not a smash bet, but it's certainly a bet that I'm going to have. And I think I don't think there'll be a lot of money for Camacho. I wouldn't be diving into $10 or anything like that. But there's a good play there. Back to Giga Kick, I thought was a little bit disappointing. I think 550 or Drift. Benedetto, I was all over last time. Bit of excuses, but I'm getting sick of backing these horses that always have excuses. So I'm pretty confident the winner will come out of those two numbers, 10 and 11.
Okay. If there's anything more to add?
Not really. I'll be on Jolly Star on the weekend, and that's about it. The rest of them are all sort of thereabouts. I'm not bagging Camacho. Boy said it's had an excuse the last few runs. So, yeah, $10, why not? But the old boy Private Eye could surprise as well. There's a few there.
Yeah. All right. Let's move to the Queensland Derby. To get us in the mood, I thought we might look at the South Australian Derby. So who we got here? We've got Statuario, who's favourite for the Queensland Derby, the big grey coming into it. Feminile, the filly, is out in front and stays in front. You also got Lavelliere in the blue, the Godolphin blue. The Rough Habit was a good form line, but I just thought we'd look at this one and familiarise ourselves again. Statuario is a pretty decent runner. Just I remember the race. Feminile just got an easier run, didn't it? John Allen went wide. And anyway, they've put him up favourite. There's the market. Away you go.
Yeah, so it's pretty wide, $5 the field there. There's not a huge amount of pace in this race. I had King of Thunder actually leading on my map, but Imperialist led last time and it's drawn wide there, so Tommy Berry could go forward and stack him up again. But I didn't think there was a huge amount of pace, but over 2,400, I expect an average pace with that size field and nothing too dramatic there. I am backing two horses that both failed in the Rough Habit. I think that was a bit of a lead-up run, a bit of an entree towards the main course, which is the Derby. Those two horses that I am backing are number one, Firm Agreement, which they can both run 2,400, these two horses. Firm Agreement was disappointing, as I said, in the heavy 10, the Rough Habit, which was run on a heavy 10 as well.
But been outstanding before that.
Yeah, ran second in an Australian Derby. Or an ATC Derby. I think $14 is a good price. Nash knows how to win these group ones. He knows how to get a horse to settle. So as you can see, they're second, and then the big duck head. But I wouldn't worry about that too much. We are prepared to forgive on this show, as I always say.
Of course.
The other one is number 17, Belle de Tel, which you see drawn out in barrier 21. But underneath you got Jay McDonald as well. He knows how to get in. He knows how to get cover. Belle de Tel, which I didn't tip as an official Saturday set bet, but I certainly did back. I took $5 in the roughie, started $3, and James McDonald went whoosh right back, which he definitely could have taken up a more forward position. I'm not sure why that happened, but it ran home for sixth. Entree run. This is the main course.
This is the grand final.
Okay. Belle de Tel, prior to that, ran in the Oaks and ran fifth, I think, in the Oaks. Didn't settle, didn't get clear running. I really think Belle de Tel is a real class horse. I like the form coming out of Sydney as well.
Sure.
I'm very confident this race. I'm going to put them both in as an official Saturday set tip. Number one, Firm Agreement, and number 17, Belle de Tel. I would take the early price in particular about Belle de Tel because it got smashed in betting last time. And as we know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Outstanding summation. Fizz, what you got to add, bud?
I'm in agreeance.
Here we go.
For me, I think it's the one. I think that there's a few afterthoughts here, a few horses that have maybe had their grand final. Look, I give Statuario a chance. I'm going to brush the 16 Feminile out of that race. I'll prefer to be on Statuario out of that race. Belle de Tel, I think, smells of a horse to me like it might push forward a bit harder this start and be very, very hard to beat, as King said, grand final. It's very hard when you've got all horses coming from all different angles too to try and line all the form up. But I prefer to be on that horse that's really ready to peak on this race day. And I reckon Belle de Tel's that horse.
Early so play?
If I say anything, I think it'll start favourite there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It'll be favourite. Statuario's second favourite. Anyway, we'll see what happens come Saturday. But, yeah, I'd be on early if you like that horse.
Outstanding. We've got one more feature race for you. We're going to go to Caulfield. We've got the Bellisbury Stakes. Of course, Bellisbury side, the great Black Caviar. Now, I thought we'd better look at this race because there's some pretty nice horses in this, in particular, Nayonce. So Nayonce hasn't run since November last year, but here's it winning the How now. You can see the horse in the light purple and dark purple. That's She's Bulletproof. She's Bulletproof went on to be nearly favourite in the Oakley Plate and ran second. So it's a very strong form line. You can see Nayonce easily wins that race. It's favourite for the Bel Esprit at Crawford on Saturday. There's the market. Also got Cleo Cat. Cleo Cat was very impressive at Morpheville a couple of weeks back. Let's not forget Recommendation. You remember Recommendation won many races over the winter, last winter. So obviously Kieran's brought it back out again. So it's a nice looking race. Let's have a chat.
Fitz, over to you because I know that you're keener on this race than I am.
Okay yeah, well, official Saturday set tip this one.
Whoa, here we go.
There hasn't been a scratching the fives out of the market now, so it's about 260 Nayonce. Look, this trial of Nayonce was enormous.
Yeah.
Horse loves it first up. I think it'll get sort of midfield with cover and just run over the top of him in the straight is my theory. Either 9, Watch Me Win, second pick. But barrier 15 was a bit scary. Cleo Cat did nothing wrong in Adelaide, but I think this has to go up in class, and the barrier 10's not going to do it any favours. So for me, best bet of the day anywhere, Nayonce.
You reckon best bet of the day anywhere?
For me.
Do you think it's a Group 1 horse in the making?
Oh, yeah. I think it did have a little bit of an injury issue after those two wins last prep. So, look, let's see how it comes back. But, yeah, if it performs like I think it will this weekend, I think you'd be talking about group races, yeah.
I do. If I was, I'm a bit in disagreement here. I thought it was a really hard race. I think there's a stack of pace in this race. I know it's 1100, but there's that much pace, and especially drawn underneath both Nayonce and Cleo Cat. Nayonce hasn't raced for 6 months, and he's racing horses that aren't first up from a spell, and obviously a bit more fitter. I just thought at the price is a bit short. I thought they could both get beat, and if I was a bookie, I'd be happy to lay him at 7 or 4 and $6 there all day. If I was playing this race, I would box the field in a trifecta.
This episode is brought to you by our good mates at Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes has you covered for Stradbroke season with the app being packed with all the best punting tools so you can own winter. And if you want the ultimate social betting experience, check out Mates Mode where you can chat, share and bet with your crew. We've even got our own Wolf Den Mates Mode group going. So jump in and join the fun using the code UPTHEDEN25. Get around Mates Mode and go and download the Ladbrokes app today.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Okay, outstanding. Well, it's now time for your Saturday set.
Are you talking about my official Saturday set?
Yeah.
Rightio, the officials read like this. So we've talked about Eagle Farm Race 8, the Derby, which I'm officially tipping Firm Agreement and also Bell to Tell. I've got two more. Rosehill Race 9, number 12, Freight Train, which is around the $7 mark at the moment. Mick Price is bringing this horse up from Melbourne. He's got great stats when he travels horses, particularly to Queensland and New South Wales. Unlucky last start at Caulfield, starting favourite. So I smell a bit of a rat there with Mickey Price bringing this one up. I think take the early price as well. And there's another one who is actually a dual acceptor, but hopefully runs at Morpheville. Race four, number two, Storm Seasons, around the $2.90 mark at the moment. Dual acceptor at Caulfield. The Morpheville race is a lot easier. Class horse if it goes to Morpheville, down in grade. We'll get back, but we'll be charging down the middle of the track. And I think 290 is great odds. So there's my four officials.
Thank you very much, sir. Fizz, what do you got?
Yeah, so we've just talked about race 8, number 7 in Caulfield, Nayonce, keen on it. And then we're going to Caulfield race 9, number 16, Dirty Grin. This horse has won very well at Moonee Valley last start, had a little break in between, had a few soft trials, and I think on Saturday it'll be very hard to beat. And then we go to Morpheville, race 2, number 7, the Sprinkler. This horse won its maiden last start, and I think it can progress and win again on the weekend. Then we go to Morpheville, race 5, and number 6, Palm of Jamira. This horse was a little bit unlucky behind Up the Den last start. This horse had, there wasn't much pace in that race. Up the Den, our horse got away with a little bit of cheap sectionals in front. And this horse hit the line nicely. And I think on the weekend, the race suits a little bit better. And then I'll go for one I was on a couple of weeks ago. Morpheville race 9, number 5 starts now. This horse just had to chase one that was fitter and got away with a soft lead. And this time in, looks like the race suits perfectly. And around the 460 mark, I'm happy to be on again.
All right. Thank you, sir. Did you say you want to talk about Chris Waller?
I do. Up the Den's running on Saturday too. He's got a good chance of getting around 550.
Really good hope. Yeah.
You backing up the?
I'm going to have something on it.
Be great if it could win this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going good.
Yeah. What do you want to say about Uncle Chris?
Well, I've got some stats. Let's talk Chris Waller. So, yearly performance. We know how many winners and how great Chris Waller is, and Chris Waller's going for the. He's going for the record. So 18 group ones this season so far, which is equal to his record as well. If he gets one, which he's got some great live chances up there in Eagle Farm that we just mentioned about. So group one wise, he's having a terrific year. So let's just have a look through the actual breakdown of stats in terms of a punter. So we've got the win percentage and the ROI. So the ROI, this is at best of the best odds, best of top fluck and best of three totes. Wow. Betting to win X amount. So let's say betting to win $100. So consistently, apart from 2021 where he was profit, consistently he's around that, say, let's call it 6%, which is his average range.
Yeah.
But as you can see in 2025, his ROI or his profit on turnover he's come down to 16%, which is a huge, huge drop. It's a 10%.
Especially best of the best.
Best of the best. So best of the best average is about, let's call it 103 or minus 3%. So he's doing 13% worse than the average, and he's also doing 10% worse than his average this year. Also, furthermore to that, his win strike rate is 9.5%, which is 3.5%, which is huge. Less in 2025. So that's really, really – his figures have fallen off a cliff, and from a punter's perspective, this is the worst year that he's had. Let's roll on with some stats. I just want to say in regards to those stats, his numbers haven't increased that much in his runners. So there's 17,000-odd runners in total there. This year he's on track for about 24 – this season he's on track for about 2,400. Mm. On average, he was about 2,200, 2,300. So slightly more runners, but not a huge amount more. Now, we've talked on this show a lot about Chris Waller. If he draws wide, he often goes back. Fitz, you often see him jag back. You do the videos. Do you see that quite often?
Yeah, he does it a lot, indeed.
So here's the stats to back it up. So these stats are from 2018. I don't like to go too far back with trainers because they can change their methods and you can get thrown off the scent sometimes. So there's 2,105 runners there, and he's losing 20%, once again, best of the best, from those barriers. 10
so
plus.
10 or wider, yeah.
Yeah, and you might say, oh, barrier 10, you know, that's a terrible barrier. But actually the ROI on barriers 10 plus is about break square. It does better than the average. So
it's all about what the market thinks, isn't it? Just because statistically it's not a great barrier, it just depends what the market thinks. All the statistics as punters we care about is what they mean to us.
Yeah,
not so much to what horse wins the race.
This is about value, but you can see his win percentage is down to 7.5 there, so they don't win that often. And the reason for that, I believe, is that he's quite negative out of wide barriers as well and goes back too far on his horses. So let's keep rolling with these stats. Runs from spell. We've often talked about Chris Waller second up. The horses can be flat. So first up, you're doing 2%. Second up, 9%. Third up, you're doing 9%. And fourth up, so that's runs from spell, four or more, there you're doing 4%. So there's a clear drop off when his horses are second or third up, and it actually went to minus 11%. So if he wins first up, second up, which we've seen a couple of times over in the spring, there's 2% drop off from that 9%. So you do 11% on horses that actually have won first up. So let's break down as well where he's doing well and where he's doing poorly. So New South Wales Metro, which are about half his runners, 6%, which is his average, so not much doing there.
And this is back 2018 again.
All these stats are from 2018 onwards. Yep. New South Wales provincials, he does really well. 4% profit there.
Yeah.
But horses in Victoria, in particular, 16% loss with 2,400, which was surprising to me how poorly he's doing down in Victoria. And Queensland, minus 8% there, so slightly worse than average.
Sample size, isn't
it? Yeah, let's have a look at the track. So his home track was actually one of his best, especially on the metros. You won 1% at Rose Hill with quite a big sample size. And then those New South Wales provincial tracks, Gosford, Wong and Newcastle, all showed good profit. The worst tracks or the biggest losing tracks, these were all over 10% with decent sample sizes apart from Geelong, I think only had 100. But Randwick, Caulfield, Sandown, Geelong and the Sunny Coast were his worst. Let's talk jockeys because we always get excited when J-Mac gets on a Chris Waller horse. It's a great winning combo. You can see there at 21%, tying with Jay Orman. Tommy Berry, the biggest profit. These are all with 500 rides, not 50 rides, but over 500 rides. So Tommy Berry has got a 17% strike rate and a 14% ROI. So that's his most profitable jockey.
Mm.
And as you can see, you're going down the list until you get to Jay Collett, who's uh, who's his worst. And I wonder if, what do you reckon with Jay Collett? You do a lot of Sydney work. Fitz, there's 22% loss there. Do you reckon he's just sticking him on all the slow ones, or why is that so bad?
It's hard to work out. Maybe he just doesn't get the pick of the rides. Maybe he's his fourth rider or something like that, and he just never really gets the A1, and he gets thrown a bone every so often, but obviously not too often.
Big wing strike rate difference, though. J-Mac 21 to call it at 10. Yeah. So you can see this conversation, as we said, is all about value. Mm. So you can see J-Mac and also Chris Waller have a 6% loss there. So the market's finding them as well, whereas the lesser-known sort of Tommy Berries and Nash and Magorian, 10% profit, are showing, and Orman as well. That's where the value is. So that's the end of the stats. But so why is he doing so poorly this year? That's the big question. Is he focusing on group ones too much? Because his group one is 118. Is he focusing on these high races too much and the lesser races? That could be one reason that I thought. The other reason, what do you reckon, Fitz? Is that, have you noticed that? Or?
Yeah, well, obviously group ones must be a big end goal for these big trainers, and maybe people are way more patient with their horses with guys like this, and they're willing to like go build into the prep just to get that one group one tilt. But I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that he has multiple runners in races and only one of them can possibly win the race. And if you're throwing five of your horses at the same race, which I guess that comes down to programming and lack of races for quality animals as well. So, yeah, I guess that probably has something to do with it. So his stats probably say not so good when there was probably the winner in the race, but you have to find it.
Mm. Makes a lot of sense. I'd love to know what everyone else thinks out there. So whack everything in the – whack your comments in, and I'll get Ellen to have a look because I want the opinion. Yeah, George, get in there. And I want everyone's opinion on this because it's a big drop-off. So and he in trainers, I don't go to do deep dives and put a lot of trainings into my model because they change so much. But Chris Waller, you can because he's got a high sample size. He's got so many horses. So if you can give us your opinion, I'd appreciate it.
So to summarise it all, what's your advice on how to handle betting around Chris Waller? Because obviously he's a huge part of the environment. You can't just not back his horses.
No, you definitely can't not back his horses. And I've tipped two of his horses out of wide barriers on Saturday as well. But and James is riding Belle Dutelle, for instance. But how do you handle him? Well, it comes back to the horse a lot of the time. You can't just pen him, but I think in big races it's certainly an advantage. But then we saw at the provincials as well, he's doing better. So it's about, which I haven't got a complete handle on, it's about, because it's hard to sort of, data-wise, it's hard to do it.
It's more about
to know what the grand final is for the horse.
Yeah. Or where the market is missing, where he's more effective. That's what it's about. It's not about like he's, because his job is he wants to win group one. Who knows what his goal is, but he probably wants to win as many group run races as possible, whatever. And then it's up to us as punters to work our way around that. Because Waller's not out there trying to help us make money. He's just trying to put the product out there.
He's trying to win races, and no one does a better job at winning races than him. He's about to break the group one record. So it's certainly not a knock on Waller, but this show's about value. And as a punter, you have to, it's not about backing who backs the most winners, because you sit there backing every favourite and that person would back the most winners, but it's about value and who ends up with the most cash really at the end of the day. And that's what this conversation is about.
Outstanding. We're going to move on. We've got a few things before we wrap up. Saturday session. On Saturday, we can talk more about the Waller effect.
The session's back, is it?
Yeah, the session's back. I love it. It's my favourite piece of content to make. All the boys will be in here on Saturday. Probably do five or six races from Eagle Farm. We'll do that one race, the Bell Esprit. Look forward to that. Probably drop it about 6-7 o'clock on Saturday night. Hey, Kingzone, this photo of the Dapto dog. So it's been announced that Dapto Dogs is closing down. I put this up on the Den during the week, and I looked at that and thought, what a magnificent scene. I thought of you.
So that's Dapto, yeah?
That's Dapto 1937 or something like that. But would you just look at that and you go, well, somehow, some way, I'll be making money out of that betting ring, and you'd watch it for a little while and then you go, right, this is my approach, whether it be, I don't know, backing dogs at one end and then going and laying them off at the other end or something. It's just,
well, there's probably a few rings there. That was probably the main ring, and then there's probably a few other rings there as well. But
looks fertile, isn't it?
Isn't that great to see? At Wentworth Park, when I was working at the dogs for Sean and also Mark Stollery, there's a buzz out there. There used to be a lot of money flying about around it. Did you ever work out the dogs, Fitz?
No, I never worked out the dogs, no.
It's good. You did, Rich, didn't you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it, yeah. But I was there late 90s and it was still buzzing along pretty well.
Good fun, the dogs.
It was great. It was the best because you go and have dinner beforehand at 6 o'clock, Chinatown, whatever, or the friend in hand. Then you go to the dogs and then...
Party time.
And then after, it'd be 10 o'clock, 10:30, and then you go out and you try and get home by Monday.
Great days.
And we've probably said this before, but remember Matt Tripp started out there too at the time when we were all
with
there.
Vince McDonald, Sydney Orbets.
That's right. Yeah. Look at us all now. we're about to record our NRL show. Obviously, the Origin was great last night, so Kings and I are going to unpack all that.
Boom.
We'll drop that later on today, so go and watch that if you love your NRL. That's it. We're done.
We're done.
Sweet.
Let's go back winners.
Cheers, let's go back winners up the Den. See you on Saturday.